The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
A big congratulations goes out to Homer.
Yeah?
So I can't. There we go. I'm not able to. There we go. Wasn't able to hear myself there for a second. So we were just talking with Homer. So sorry we had a little bit of a delay there. Because Homer, we had somebody on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the Arnold Walker Championship. The countywide championship that happened at Brown Deer, two-day tournament this past week. And I had no idea this was happening. But I get, you know, I get the emails from the county, even though I did not play in the Arnold Walker Championship. I still got this email. And I'm just kind of scrolling through it. Championship flight. Okay, they had a playoff. Pretty cool. A flight, yada, yada. B flight. Steve the Homer True. Finished second in the B flight at the Arnold Walker County Championship. So congratulations to Homer.
You know, I love Homer. I've had the opportunity to play golf with Homer a couple of times. I still will always judge Homer for using range balls in competition. It's just something I just can't get over. Love the guy, but he knows it. I tell him. But if you're using practice range balls on a really nice golf course.
Yeah. Well, but because you saw him take the. Where did you see him take the practice range balls from?
Erin Hills.
And admittedly, those are pretty good balls. Like, you're actually using. I believe they use TaylorMade out there, the TP5, TP5X. They actually have those real. They just say practice on them.
If you're playing Erin Hills,
yep.
Spend another $15 and get yourself your own golf balls.
Yeah, but to Homer, those are really nice golf balls. Those are probably the nicest he has.
I understand the argument.
Just standing up for my guy who finished second in the B flight.
And he's a very good golfer. Sneaky good golfer.
Absolutely.
I just hope he played his own golf balls. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, who? I mean, look, the man finds more golf balls. Have you ever played golf with Homer?
Yes.
He
always is net positive when he comes out with golf balls.
Oh, yeah. He is the fastest player I play with.
Yeah.
Because he's always like, he quickly hits his ball so then he can go off in the woods or weeds or wherever he happened to be playing so he can search for more golf balls and then give them to other ranges who use them. Like, he doesn't ever use them for himself. Usually just donates them, gives them away because he's a good guy. But congratulations to our guy Homer for that. So this week is the Tour Championship. And, you know, guys are sitting down having their press conferences today. And Scottie Scheffler had his press conference today. Very interesting for Scottie Scheffler because he was talking not about East Lake and the new renovations there or the two-shot advantage that he has over Xander Schauffele to start when they tee off and put a tee in the ground on Thursday. No, he was talking about playing golf at his home course. And, I mean, look, PGA Tour pros don't have handicaps. You know, they're not – Max Homa isn't logging into the Gin app and trying to post his, you know, 73 that he just shot, or you know,
you can just find that on Wikipedia.
Yeah, right. Like, you're not playing Augusta National. Well, shot a 62 today. You know, I've just got to make sure I put that in. No, you don't have a handicap. You're a professional golfer. So he talked about what he does when he's playing against other people with handicaps at his games at home.
Is there anything interesting that you do to make it equitable with your friends when you play with them, whether it might be having to play your worst ball or something?
No, most of it's just strokes. Yeah. just like the handicap system. And I think that's one of the great parts about our game is, you know, I can go out there with whoever it is, and we can come up with some sort of a fair match just based on the handicap system.
So what are you giving typically?
Depends on the game. But at home, I'm typically playing to a plus +7. I used to be a plus +5. They moved me to a plus +7. So now we got guys in the group that are getting like 2 strokes a hole. And I typically still will win more often than not, I feel like. But it's just fun. Like, it's just entertaining. You don't know. Like, if you're going out there with a 12, 13 handicap, you don't know what the heck's going to happen. And for playing Wolf, there's a lot of volatility there, and it's fun.
So you might even be playing with guys who are not even single-digit handicap guys? Or
yeah. Yeah, if I'm at home, pretty much either Friday or Saturday, I'm playing with somebody that's I'm giving, you know, 20 strokes. I think we're up to 20 strokes now.
That is the most relatable content Scotty Scheffler has ever produced.
I didn't know he had it in him. So, when I hear that,
yeah,
what do you need? How many strokes do you need to be competitive with Scotty Scheffler?
All right, so he's saying he's a plus +7.
Yeah.
Right now, the gin app tells me I'm a 5, so okay. I would get 12.
You don't stand a chance, right?
I need a shot a hole.
I think I need a
like,
shot a hole.
I would need 6 more. You got to give me 6 more. I got to get a shot a hole.
Because where most courses that we're playing, and I would imagine his country club in Dallas, wherever he belongs, is probably not tipping out to 74,000, 78,000 or 7,800 that you're going to see in most major championships, right? So you're telling me that he goes out and he plays a local course here in Wisconsin? I mean, he's shooting. He's on 59 watch right out of the gates, right?
If he comes out and plays the Wisconsin Country Club, I mean, it's a challenging course for us. Like,
Scotty would drive half the greens.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, we look at some of the par threes out there as challenging. Like, we were having the debate the other day when we were playing out at Wisconsin Club of which par three is more challenging, 4 or 16. I mean, he's just stuffing whatever onto the plateau. We're like, oh man, you got to get it to the right spot. All right, we got to, you know, don't go after that pit. No, he doesn't care. He's Scotty Bleepin' Scheffler. He's the best iron player in the world.
Your only hope is just to feed him a ton of drinks, right? He can't be like a good drunk golfer, right?
I don't know how much he's drinking. Maybe you just give him too much coffee.
He probably has never had a sip of alcohol.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like in the Netflix in Full Swing, like him and his wife seem to enjoy coffee, so maybe you overserve him some coffee, gets a little jittery with the hands. Putter's kind of shaky to begin with.
I think 18 is a fair number.
I think 18,
a stroke a hole. Because even in match play, there might be some holes that you're giving me 2 strokes on, and maybe I could squeak out a couple of them, but you're dominating me the rest of the course.
He has to be
a plus +10 at a minimum when he plays most clubs around the country are not major championship venues.
I love the fact, because he went, yeah, some guys, like, I'm giving 20 strokes. He's playing with a 12 or 13 handicap regularly. Like, I guarantee, like, the way he quickly arrived at that, it didn't seem like it's, oh yeah, this one time I was playing in the group and it was, you know, I went out to the club, played. No, he's playing with a 13 handicap pretty regularly, and they're playing Wolf. He went to those two things.
It's got
to really
be his buddies, right? Like his buddies who go out and enjoy themselves. 100%. Like, I have friends that are probably a 10 to a 13 who would be much more competitive with Scotty Scheffler than I would be at a 4. Because they will be getting 2 strokes a hole on a couple of them, right?
Mm-hmm. How often, if Scotty...
It has to be more unnerving for him to play with somebody like a 12 or a 14 than it would be for him to play with one of us who can go out there on any given day and shoot a really good score.
That's what he said. I mean, the volatility of that 12 to 13, he's like, you have no idea what's going on. Which is kind of the fun part, and it makes me wonder, how often is Scotty Scheffler, when he's teeing off first and he's the Wolf, how often is he going alone?
Every time. It'd just be bad business to not go lone Wolf every
Scotty
time.
Scotty Scheffler. But then I bet there are times where that 12-13 handicap pulls a birdie out of his you-know-what, and he's getting a stroke, and all of a sudden it's a 3-for-2.
I would hope that if he's playing with, and we're just obviously guessing that it's his buddies who are 12 to 14, maybe it's other, you know, distinguished members who are out there, but I would hope that almost it's always 2-on-1 or 3-on-1, and he's just a wolf the entire time.
Now, I mean, that's not how wolf works.
I know, but it doesn't seem fair. No wonder he doesn't lose. I mean,
if you're teeing off, you're just waiting for Scotty to hit every time, right? Like, you're just picking when you're the wolf and it's your turn to pick a
yeah,
partner.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you're picking Scotty every time. I don't care how many strokes the 12 handicap's
You could
getting.
Hit it 400 yards dead straight, and I'm just still waiting for Scotty to hit his
yeah.
tee shot.
Yeah, no. It's a good swing, but I'm taking the number one player in the world.
So a lot of these professional golfers will go out there and gamble amongst each other. Practice rounds kind of keeps them engaged. Phil Mickelson, very famous for this. Do you think Scotty bets on a golf course with these guys?
Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, later in the clip, later in the press conference, he says he hates, and you know, he said he wins more often than he doesn't. He says, whether it's $5 or $500, I hate giving up money. Because let's be honest, if you're a golfer and you don't gamble, can you be trusted? Like, if you haven't played, and I'm not saying you do it every time, right? Like, because the last time that we went out...
Well,
and,
yeah, if
and
you're
played,
gambling, you just don't hit cups.
Yeah. But,
so, to answer your question, no, you cannot be trusted.
But what I'm saying is, if we have a group of four guys that go out there, we're playing some game, and it's not for, you know, thousands or hundreds of dollars. It's a couple bucks here and there. But if you go out on the golf course, and you're with four other guys, and you don't play a game, like, if it's just you and somebody else, you're just a twosome... Maybe you'll do like a 5-5-5. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I will look the other way if, you know, hey, we're just out here, we're having fun, whatever. But if you were with a group of three other buddies, you're not putting something on the line? I don't even know if you're golfing.
Yeah, you're playing the wrong sport?
Yeah, like, I don't even know what we're doing here. Like, it's just a little something. Do you have a go-to game with the buddies? With the guys?
Vegas, if I'm feeling crazy.
Oh, wow. Vegas has a lot of volatility.
Yeah, and that's what keeps it fun. It mm-hmm. keeps you engaged throughout. You know, you're always in matches. I mean, it could go sideways pretty quickly for yourself if you're on the wrong end of some bad partner losses. But it also allows you to get back into a game quicker. So, yeah, I mean, 5-5-5 is probably the most common game that I would play.
Yeah.
But I do love a good game of Vegas. I'm not doing it for crazy amounts of money.
Sure.
You know, if I lose 50... with the right group, $100 in a round, mm-hmm. like that's
good,
good
for you for
me.
Willing to put the actual number on the losses out there.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends who's like I'm just donating to their kids' college fund at this point, so we joke about it.
Yeah, because
out to my girl Harper, I'm putting her through college.
Lost a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, Wolf is always a good one. Wolf is a fun one because it kind of keeps you engaged from a hole to hole. I was out there yesterday with two other guys. We just played a 9-point game. 9-point games we're trying to come up with different ways for the 9-point game to make it a little more volatile. Because a lot of times you're playing Wolf at the end, you know, somebody, the way we play it, the way I've played with a lot of other people is, we go around, everybody gets to be the Wolf, you know, four times, you play 16 holes. And then the last two holes, whoever's down the most can double the point total if they want for the hole. They tee off. They get to pick the order then.
Yep.
And you go from there. Because you're the one who's lost the most money through 16 holes. It gives you an opportunity to kind of play catch up a little bit. So we were trying to introduce coming up with some different ideas. For example, one way to play a 9-point game, for those who don't know, if you have three guys, because you can't really play a team game or Wolf, you can't do anything with four. So if you have three, a 9-point game is... Obviously, you have three guys, so there are three scores. Top score's worth five, next one's worth three, next one's worth one. So there are 9 points available on every hole. If you top two guys tie, well, you each get four, last one gets one. Same, you know, reverse it. If one guy wins the hole, he gets all five. If the next two, you know, you end up splitting that, you get two apiece. So we're trying to come up, there was apparently something that was floated yesterday, I think we're going to do next time. If one guy wins the hole by two, so let's say it's a par three. You make a birdie, you make a two, and the other two guys bogey, you get all 9 points.
I like that.
You know, so again, a little more volatility to yeah. it to allow you to catch up or separate yourself.
Games where natural birdies are made should always be, you know, double the points or mm-hmm. something that, you know, most of the golf that we're playing, not many guys are hanging up too many birdies.
Yeah.
That they should be rewarded or something like that. I like a good 6-6-6 game as well. You know,
oh, you rotate partners.
That way you get to play with everybody. And, you know, if you're not playing that well, you could find yourself still a winner because of
you get carried by the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's always fantastic.
Yeah, those are all good games.
Yeah, I mean, but apparently Scotty's playing Wolf.
What would be the one game you'd want to play with Scotty?
Yeah, I think... I think Wolf is probably... I mean, the reason why he's probably playing it is because it's the most... I would say it's probably the most equitable, especially when you're giving all those strokes.
I agree because I want the opportunity to beat him.
Yes. But
and
also,
I also want to
partner up with him.
Give him a little bit of that cake, too. Let me ride you, Scotty.
Yeah, I think, because again, if you're just playing like a 6-point game, you know, 2-on-2 with partners, it doesn't feel as fair when Scotty Scheffler's on the other team. But if Scotty, you know, is going to be lone wolf or, you know, you kind of mix up partners the way you do in Wolf. Yeah,
and then
that feels the best.
I got one more for you, real quick.
Okay.
If you and I, with our handicaps right now.
Yes.
Could play Scotty at a +7, and we took our net score. Could we beat him?
Best ball 1 of 2 for us?
Yeah.
He's a +7? I don't think we can. We're not getting enough strokes. We're not going to make enough birdies. We're just not going to make enough birdies.
He's shooting maximum 62 on that golf course. Maximum, in my opinion.
10 under, you think, is what he's shooting?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say maximum 63, but we're in the same ballpark.
you looked at me like I was crazy and you had one stroke higher.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I would say birdie every other hole. He's not going to, maybe the putter's giving him issues. He's not making every putt.
You don't think he's eagling at least one, if not two, of the par fives?
I mean, if I'm being honest, he's probably eagling 3 of them.
I thought I was kind of being generous, not going sub-60 with Scotty at that golf course.
That's fair. It's
he just hits it so far and so straight.
He just hits it straight. And the iron play is just unbelievable. He's giving himself a good look on everyone.
I bet he would shoot, I would guess, 60 at Wisconsin Country Club from the tips. That's 12 under.
Well, he's driving 1. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it's going to be a ridiculous number. It's going to be an
outrageous
number. And
there's no private course in the area that I think he would shoot like worse than 8 under or 9 under.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. He's the best player in the world.
I know.
He's the best player in the world. Speaking of the world, we're taking a trip around the world over to Scotland with Wisconsin Golf Trips, but maybe you're looking for different trips and you want to book something to place like Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada. Wisconsin Golf Trips can do that for you. And just like they're planning the trip for us to Scotland, they can do that for you as well. Or maybe a trip to Ireland. Jason knows what he's doing over at Wisconsin Golf Trips because it's your one-stop shop for your next golf getaway. They handle all the tee times, lodging, other logistics, plus transportation, and even dinner reservations. Wisconsin Golf Trips makes the entire process easy and stress-free. Check them out online, wisconsingolftrips.com. They bring you on the tee each and every week. Xander Schauffele said something last week that got me a little upset. We dive into that coming up next. Woo-hoo! I've been pretty hard on professional golf, I think, this season on the tee.
I would agree.
But I feel justified when I hear things like this, Stephen, because it just further illustrates how I feel that they don't get it. That they just don't, there's just so much disconnect between them and what reality is that, you know, I feel like somebody needs to yell at them, and I doubt any of them ever hear it, but it just makes me frustrated because Xander Schauffele, before the tournament last week, before the BMW, which... ended up being really good,
yeah.
By the way.
Awesome venue.
Turns out, introducing a bunch of variables for these guys, elevation, and I'm like playing at elevation, but then also a lot of up and down elevation on the golf course, like a lot of different variables, had a lot of the guys frustrated and breaking.
Conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, wind was going too.
Breaking drivers,
yep.
Rory throwing 3 woods in the pond.
Rory hitting shots from the pond.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff. But I digress, because before that, Xander said this about money on the PGA Tour.
I guess along those same lines, in this era of inflated purses, does $25 million still get your attention? Is 15, 10, 5 the sort of money you guys are going to be playing for over the next 2 weeks?
It's interesting. The media has been an interesting thing to me the last 2 or 3 years. You know, there's a reason behind inflated purses, and a lot of people have been talking about money. And I mean, the news that I do read, you know, it's funny. It's really negative. It's painted really negatively in golf, which is fine. I think people like to hate on anything these days. But when I look at other sports, you know, when someone gets a $300 million contract, you know, there's all these positive comments about how someone got their bag, or they've worked so hard to get this and they deserve it and things like that. So it's interesting to me. I think maybe golf is a gentleman's game and you're not supposed to talk about money, but all the media wants to do is talk about money. And us players, I think the players that make the most money don't think about money because it's just not the most important thing. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, winning $25 million would be really cool and really nice, but I don't think it's going to change my life. And I can tell you, if I lose and play bad, I'm going to be pretty upset about playing bad and not being able to peak at the right time more than losing money.
That last part makes sense. The part that I take issue with, Stephen, is the first part. Him, well, the media, all they want to talk about is money these days. Yeah, it's our fault, Xander. It's our fault. The game's not being torn apart because of money, right? No, that's our fault. That's our fault. That's the media's fault that guys in the purses on the PGA Tour are inflated. And you played for how much ever money, millions of dollars you played for in the FedEx St. Jude, and yet the ratings were down a million bleeping people, right? That makes sense. You guys are playing for all this money. There's a reason. All right, Xander, tell me what the reason is. The reason is because an outside source came in and they overpaid. They overpaid to try to get into the sport, and that's what the Saudis did, right? So the difference is when somebody like, we'll keep it local, Jordan Love gets his bag, gets his $220 million. Jordan Love staying with the Green Bay Packers, that's good for me. Or Jordan Love staying in the NFL, that's good if you're an NFL fan or a fantasy football fan. When John Rahm signs a $300 million contract to go to live, that splinters the golf world, you dip bleep. And that's bad for the game. Like, him wanting to paint it on the media. Like, again, good for John Rahm to go get that money. I don't have to like it. Because him doing that, we discussed this last week in the guys that went to live and we've completely forgotten about. But this is bad for me as a fan. If somebody else leaves the PGA Tour to go to live and go play in front of the crowds that they play for and play in you know, for the 150,000 people that tune in on the CW, that's bad for me as a golf fan. But if CeeDee Lamb signs a big-time contract like he just did for the Dallas Cowboys, that's good for me as a football fan because he's still, you know, he's still available in my fantasy league if I want to go draft him. He's still available if I'm watching Red Zone for me to see him. That's the difference, Xander. When somebody else goes get that, yeah, they've worked hard. And you've worked hard, too. Do you deserve to get paid? Yeah, not as much, nearly as much as you're getting paid right now, but you deserve to get paid. But as a fan base, as a fan, it's bad for me if you decide you want to get paid by the Saudis and go to live. That's bad for me because it splinters the golf world.
I think you are getting a little too emotional about this, and here's why. I think that Xander in no way referenced live in that response.
No, but it's the undertones. Like, because he's talking about, oh, when somebody gets $300 million. Oh, I wonder where did that number come from? Was that... Oh, that happened to be John Rahm's number.
But what he is saying about himself is that he cares only about the golf money that he's making himself. Like, it doesn't have anything
But he said he gets upset when other people go get their money and it gets painted negatively. That's a reference to live, man. That's a reference to live. That's 100% the reference. And then because LIV is giving out all this money, now the PGA Tour has to elevate their purses to try to keep people like Xander Schauffele around. And
do you think guys on the PGA Tour make too much money?
Yes. Unequivocally, yes. Right now, the money in men's professional golf, it's not sustainable. Like,
So, in LIV, I would agree.
No, on the PGA Tour, full stop, period. Right now, none of it's sustainable. If we wanted to dive into the weeds here in economics, let's just do it quickly. So in the NFL, prices continue to go up because people are tuning into football in, you know, it's the top 50 television shows each and every year are NFL games. And like the other two are college football games, right? Like the NFL drives everything to the fact where they're making up days to play on. They're playing on a Wednesday this year, Stephen. They sold those two games to Netflix.
I understand that the NFL model is its own model.
So now
there's no sport that compares to the NFL.
So now on the PGA Tour, they've elevated purses. They're asking, they're losing sponsors. Honda, their longest sponsor, gone. It's no longer the Honda Classic. The Wells Fargo, which has been the Wells Fargo forever, gone. Truist is stepping in. And now that tournament that gets played, it's not going to get played there this year because they're having the PGA. And I'm forgetting the name of the golf course now in North Carolina there that they play. What used to be the Wells Fargo now is going to be the Truist going forward. Like, they bailed because they're asking too much money. The TV contract that they have, NBC and CBS right now, I bet, are regretting that deal because of the way that ratings are going down and they're not able to sell it the way that they were. So based on the very basic level of economics, golfers, especially on the PGA Tour and more importantly on LIV, they're all making way too much money. It's not sustainable unless they find a way to come together, drive the ratings up, and the ratings are what the television networks pay for.
Well, I know that a lot of the different PGA Tour events, that money is not coming off of TV contracts like it might be for an NFL. That's where you can't really draw the similar comparison. A lot of that money is coming from the sponsored FedEx.
Yeah, but
or
I mean
Wells Fargo.
A lot of the things that but the biggest driver, just like the only money in the NFL isn't TV contracts. They have home games, teams generate revenue there. The biggest piece of the PGA Tour pie is the TV contracts and the money that they get from NBC and CBS. It's not obviously a week-to-week thing because Truist, I think, is putting up $20 or $25 million per year. But the biggest overall piece of the pie is that television contract. That is true in every sport.
Yeah. But when you can't compare it to Jordan Love without actually comparing it to what Jordan Love might make in a single year, right? So like, if Scottie Scheffler goes on and wins the Tour Championship, he will have made roughly $50 million. On course earnings for this year. He's made roughly 30 right now. That's a $20 million win. You don't think Scottie Scheffler earned $50 million this year?
No, because golf's not that popular.
It doesnn't bother me.
Look, the money itself doesn't bother me. It's the larger overall, like, oh, the media paints this in a bad light. When, again, it goes back to the whole thing. This whole thing is unsustainable.
The media does paint it in a bad light.
But why is that, Stephen? Because the whole damn thing's unsustainable. And again, it goes back to...
I understand that, but do you realize how much we, and I hate saying we as in we're all media members, we talk about things we don't know? We have no idea what the LIV contracts are. We have no idea what they say, and there's a reason they have not become public.
Yeah. Well, the reason is, I mean, the government of Saudi Arabia doesn't need to make them public.
What you can complain about is how potentially Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour, their response to that. I'll agree with you that there have been overinflated values of what these players are actually worth. But if I'm Xander Schauffele, like, what do you want him to say there?
I don't want him to be so...
The conversation is not just the media. The players have said it, too.
Don't be obtuse. That's what I'm asking. Don't be obtuse. Is that too much? I'm asking too much of Xander Schauffele now of being obtuse of, oh, man, the media, they make this so bad because we're making so much money. No, man. Like, I'm pissed off as a member of the media and as a fan, not because you're making too much money. It's the larger overall point of what the money represents. And the money represents a splinter in the men's golf game. And if you want to be obtuse about that, you can be obtuse about it.
Yeah. I mean, he can't change that. So,
But don't try to turn it on everybody else. And it just ticks me off. Like, you just want to bury your head in the sand to it and be like, oh, man, clearly I earned this money. Now, Tiger Woods earned that money for you.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. And I think most guys would agree with you that if it wasn't for Tiger, the game would be nowhere close to what it is right now.
I don't think that's the way Xander thinks. I don't think that's the way Patrick Cantlay thinks. I don't think that's the way anybody who went to live thinks. I think they all think they earned that money themselves.
Well, that was the next point of my counterargument of you realize the soundbite we're listening to, who it's from, right? If that soundbite comes from somebody who I think is a little bit more level-headed, a Max Homa, even a Spieth, a Rory, who understands a little bit more about what that, like why, even if it came from Cantlay, who's a part of the board, I think it means more to the game than maybe Xander. And
the future of the game is in the hands of the upper echelon players, and he's one of them. You don't have to be on a board. It comes down to them. PGA Tour is catering to them. That's the type of player that Liv wants to sign up. If the rumors about Liv are true and they're cutting off the faucet, I mean, because that's been a rumor the last couple of weeks or whatever, that the Saudi, you know, the PIF, their fund doesn't want to give away the free money that they have. They want to tighten their belts a little bit, yada, yada, yada. We'll see if that's actually true. But those are the type of players that drive the entire thing. Like, you don't have to be a board member. Those are the type of players they're being catered to.
Well, if this ends up being a merger at any point in the next couple of years, these guys will have to figure out the money part of it, because what Liv did is it set a bar that was too high.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's like, it's still a performance-based sport where guys have to go out there and earn it. And when you have the season that Scottie Scheffler had, or what Xander Schauffele has had, I wouldn't worry too much about the money either, because he went out there and earned it.
Yeah. But they're still making, like, again, I don't know how sustainable their current model is the other point. So when you ask me, are they overpaid? I say yes, because I don't think their current model is sustainable. I think purses are going to have to come down.
That Liv is going to one day come back.
Yeah.
That's where your head is going,
I think,
right?
Purses are going to have to come down. Because I see
it as like these two things are so opposite from each other right now, mm-hmm. that it doesn't bother me that much, what Xander said, because him and Scotty went out there and had good seasons.
No, like, I'm not saying he didn't go out there and earn the major championships. And like, the money is what the money is when the purses are set, right? But again, if we're still having this conversation 5 years from now, in 2029... I think the PGA Tour is going to be hurting for cash.
We have no idea what TV or what sponsors or any of that looks like.
No,
at this point.
No, it's a projection on my point, but ratings for everything have been down on the PGA Tour. Very few things for the majors have been up, but for the most part, ratings have been down. And that's the one thing that the networks...
Find me a sport that isn't the NFL where ratings are down.
That's fair, but I don't think they're down exponentially the way... I don't think they're down 33% the way that the first playoff event, which is supposed to be one of the most important things in the PGA Tour, down 33%. I don't think baseball's that. I don't think basketball's that.
I don't know. I'm not as emotional about it as you are.
Because I just want people to be smart about this. Is that too much to ask?
I imagine the years now that he's been asked about Liv, it's created exhaustion, and his only defense is to point to the media for continuing to hone that in. I'm not defending Xander. I'm just trying to justify where I think his head is coming from.
No, you're defending him. You're a big Xander guy. That's fine. Big Liv guy, Xander guy. You're actually rooting for Xander to go to Liv. That's what's happening right
now. Yeah, Bryson flipped me. It's just... Go, Greg Norman.
18 unforgettable holes, 250 acres of natural private land. The Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. Book your next tee time. Call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com. Enjoy golf. Enjoy the Bog. Has the winner of the latest PGA Tour playoff event complicated things for the President's Cup? We dive into that next on the tee. Do you have any interest in the President's Cup?
It's nothing like the Ryder Cup, but I definitely have interest.
September 26th through the 29th at Royal Montreal up in Canada.
Is it bad that I'm like actually kind of excited because I think it's really going to be competitive? Like, meaning Team USA is not that good?
So...
And I also think, like, it being in Canada, after watching the RBC Canadian Open.
Oh, Canada golf fans
in
great.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah, they're great.
Like Nick Taylor's putt in the playoff over Tommy Fleetwood was low key one of, if not my top three favorite moments of the PGA Tour golf season last year.
Mm-hmm.
And those fans show up.
Oh yeah, fans are going to show up.
I think it's going to be fun,
without a doubt. So the top six were locked in for Team USA: Scotty, Xander, no shock, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Sahith. So six more captain's picks for Jim Furyk. Keegan Bradley was named an assistant captain or vice captain, whatever terminology they use for the President's Cup. But with his win this last week, he is now 10th. He moved up to 10th in the standings. Sam Burns is 7th. Tony Finau 8th. You're never going to guess who number 9 is.
I would not have guessed if I didn't just look.
Russell Henley. Russell Henley, 9th in the standings. Just to tell you what it's like for Team USA.
Well, let's just go ahead and move Max Homa up from 12 into that 9 position.
So you think Max is going to be one of the captain's picks?
He is a lock.
Okay.
It, not only did he dominate the previous President's Cup, mm-hmm. but he was about the only positive from the last Ryder Cup in Rome.
Okay. I think Sam Burns obviously going to be on the team. If you're 7th on this list, it's shocking if you're not. So I think Sam Burns is on the team. Finau is probably on the team as the 8th. I feel like Akshay Bhatia is going to be on this team. He finished 14th.
He is probably one of the last, if not the last, players on, but I would rather see Nick Dunlop in there over Akshay.
Oh, I'd like to see both of them. Like, completely go youth. My guess is JT's on the team. JT is actually in the Tour Championship. Without winning, Justin's had a really quiet, solid season.
Yes.
He's been solid. He hasn't won, especially beginning part of the year, had a bunch of top tens. He's been solid, so I think JT's on the team, which would kind of leave us with one spot. Is Keegan Bradley going to make this team? Is Keegan Bradley going to be a playing captain next year in the Ryder Cup?
You know, it was about a month and a half ago on this program where we listened to Keegan be introduced as the next captain of the Ryder Cup, and I was pretty hard on him.
Yeah.
I didn't like the pick. I kind of love the pick now.
So
and here's why.
I feel like you're okay with the pick. You didn't necessarily like the process of the pick.
Correct. We both hated the process.
Yeah.
But at the time, I thought it was too forced to go with the rah-rah young guy. But what I've seen out of Keegan since then has been pretty sweet.
You kind of in?
And even if he's playing or not, the energy and the enthusiasm is hard to ignore. And the more I've thought about it, we need a big, massive shakeup in USA golf. And maybe this is Keegan Bradley's legacy. Maybe he is the first playing captain.
Since who knows how long.
Is it since Jack? Or is it since Davis Love?
I think Love was a playing captain in the President's Cup, like Tiger was. I don't know if he ever was in the Ryder
I think it's
Cup.
Since Jack.
Yeah, I think it's since Jack.
Why not? If he can, of course, we're very far, far away from a Ryder Cup, but I think he deserves to be on this President's Cup roster.
He should be on this President's Cup roster, no doubt, because you also can't dive into the, you know, you can't dive into Live. Like, the President's Cup, neither side can dive into Live because the President's Cup is owned and operated by the PGA Tour. Right, the PGA Tour is not going to use Live guys the way that the Ryder Cup obviously did when Team USA decided to go with Brooks last year. And I have a hard time imagining Keegan because Keegan said he's not going to pick himself. And it's great. Like, he's had a really good year this year.
Says that now, but go on.
He's 10th right now. Like, that's nowhere actually near being in the top six. And especially when you fold in, like, if you win a major.
I was going to say, he has to win a major.
Yeah, if you win a major, you're basically in. That's how Brian Harman got in. That's how, I mean, Brooks just finished outside last year. After winning a major, he finished 7th, but clearly he's going to be taken. But, like, Brooks could win a major next year. Clearly Bryson could win a major next year. And that throws in a bit of a curveball when you're adding those two names to the list of potential Ryder Cuppers. It just makes it tougher for Keegan to qualify on points.
It's just kind of wild to think about If it wasn't for Tom Kim finishing his round with three sixes, Keegan Bradley is not number 50. He does not go to Colorado. And he vaulted up to number 4 in the official world golf rankings after his win at the BMW Championship.
In the FedEx Cup rankings.
Yeah, FedEx Cup. Sorry.
He's not the number 4 player in the world.
But he's the oldest golfer in the top 30. But something I saw Kyle Porter of CBS tweet out something that was mind-blowing about Keegan Bradley. Over the last 2 years, he has 3 PGA Tour wins. In that same time, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, and Colin Morikawa have combined for 2 PGA Tour wins.
Right, so Ricky's got one. Does Cantlay have the other one?
No, Cantlay hasn't won. I believe it was Spieth's win in Valero, Texas. Was it Spieth win somewhere randomly on the PGA Tour? Because JT, Cantlay, and Morikawa have not won on the tour.
No, in the last 2 years. Yeah, must have been Spieth. Yeah, he did back. He backdoored his way into one.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it was the Valero.
Keegan has more than all of them combined.
Again, he's been really good. The top part of Team USA is solid. Like, the first 6 names that I listed off, really good. I'm expecting all 6 of them to be competitive and be in the running for the top 6 of the Ryder Cup next year. It's going to be really hard for Keegan.
Yeah, but I also just think it's important for him to be around USA Golf at this point. Put him on the roster so that he can just mingle and get to know these guys better. A lot of guys
they've already named him assistant captain, but I think he's played his way out of the team.
Yeah.
Like, I think he should be playing in the President's Cup.
It's better to get to know guys on a course and see their tendencies than to watch from afar, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think Keegan playing, sign me up for it. He's earned it because he has been that good for Team USA. We're going to make some picks for the revamped East Lake Tour Championship coming up next. But you can also play Erin Hills Golf Digest, 10th-ranked public course in the nation. Steven and I absolutely love it. It's one of our happy places. And, of course, it's hosting the 2025 U.S. Women's Open Championship. Be on the lookout. Tickets now available for that. There are volunteering opportunities, so check that all out. But if you want to learn more about playing Erin Hills, visit erinhills.com. It started with a whisper. Coming up in 5 minutes on our YouTube page. Maybe you're watching us right now as we do the show on YouTube each and every week. A little bit of a premiere. I don't know if we should be promoting it.
We had no decision-making over the editing of this, but Maddie, who had to edit this, it probably took a lot of editing.
Yeah, it took a lot of editing to probably even make us look not even respectable. The video where Steven and I caddy for one another, debuting in 4 minutes at the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page, so make sure you check that out.
Spoiler alert. We didn't play very well.
It's bad. I was
hopefully we
lost.
Delivered some fun one-liners to you.
I got a lesson after after this. And things are going a little bit better for me now. But it's time for some Gruber Law Offices One Call, That's All. East Lake Tour Championship, Steven, who you got?
The final event of the PGA Tour season. It's very simple, Gabe Neitzel. Our Gruber Law Offices One Call, That's All. Scottie Scheffler or the field?
Okay, so I think it's pretty easy. I'm taking the field. Scotty's not playing that great. And I would probably want to say specifically Xander, because he has dominated East Lake. But East Lake is going to look way different. I don't know if you've seen any of the renovations that they've done. It is going to be very, very different than the East Lake that we've seen. They tore up the golf course and redesigned a lot of the greens, a lot of different things. So I don't think Xander has the advantage that he's had here in the past.
In 2022, Rory McIlroy overcame a 6-shot deficit to beat Scottie Scheffler. Scottie doesn't forget that. I'm going to take Scottie Scheffler to win this with a 2-stroke lead over the field, because he has earned that as number one player in the FedEx Cup standings. He's starting at 10 under.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wins this by 3 strokes.
Is he going to be over Xander, or is somebody else going to creep up?
Somebody will creep up. Ludvig Åberg is going to make it interesting.
I think it'll be fun. I'm interested to see how the course plays, again, being a little bit different than we've seen in years past. We'll be back next Tuesday on the team.